you wanna creep. Damn. It makes me wanna creep.
I got something for your mind, your body, and your soul.
Damn, I'm such a G, it's pathetic. Here comes the big-headed nigga that's dipping, sipping on Courvoisier. Goddamn, I must have the floss today. Now pimping ain't easy, but it's necessary. So I'm chasing bitches like Tom Chase Jerry. I put the pedal to the floor in my two-tone Ford Explorer.
Welcome to the Thank You Rob podcast, episode number 54, officially sponsored by
Brims and Tons Clothing.
Get the latest and greatest in hats, shirts, and shoe accessories only at brimsandtongues.com. You can check out past episodes of this show at thankyourob.com, where you can also check out my graphic design work, which is mind-blowing and life-altering, known as I Define Design. You can also check out my other podcast called Some People's Kids Podcast. While you're at it, check out this podcast on Fuzz Talk Radio at fuzztalkradio.com. Welcome to episode number 54. I would like to preemptively apologize. Brady just left. I went back into this episode to start editing, and I realized that the first half audio where we talk about Office Space is all fucked up, and it's kind of unbearable. If you can listen to it, go ahead. But I'm kind of pissed because I like Office Space. I love that movie. I really wanted to talk about it. There's all sorts of crazy shit I talked about, and I fucked up. For some reason, it's fucked up. It's all fucked. And I apologize for using the word fuck, but when I'm pissed and upset, I cuss, and my go-to word is fuck. And as you can tell, I'm saying it a lot. So I'm going to stop saying it. Listen to this episode if you want. The second half of the episode after the break is just fine. Bear with it if you want. I still love you. Please love me back. I'm sorry I fucked up. Here we are, episode 54. Brady O'Rourke from Crush Kill. You're claiming Crush Kill?
Reppin'
Crush Kill. You came in my house and you're like, you threw up the sign. I was like, oh, gangs. I didn't know this was a gang thing. Yeah. Yeah, here we are.
Yep.
And he emptied his whole, the contents of his pockets, phones, yeah. That's what they call that, right?
Yeah.
Palm Pilot,
yep.
Two handguns,
yep.
Some hollow point shells.
And a business card holder that I use as a wallet.
Well, we'll get in more into what you do and who you are in a little bit here, but let's, just to recap the last episode, I had Johnny Question Mark on, and we talked about the best of 2013. While I was talking to you online on Facebook, we were talking about topic, and I was throwing out, you know, what was your favorite album of 2013?
Mine was probably Nacho Picasso's High and Mighty album.
Okay.
It's kind of a weird release. I don't really listen to a lot of rap music, mm-hmm. per se, and it's kind of a filthy, you know, I don't know how to describe it, but he's pretty much like covered in tats, and he's just this strange guy, okay. in Seattle. And
okay, so digital, that was my question.
Yeah.
When you said that, I was like, I thought at first it was like Nacho Picasso. Sounds like it could be some comedic type thing. And then you sent me the link to his Bandcamp page.
Yeah.
And I checked it out. It's actually pretty good. It is.
Yeah, you really kind of step. Well, how I found out about him is he's produced by, or a lot of the stuff he does is produced by Blue Sky Black Death. And they're on Fake 4, and I do all their shipping of... That's actually what I did for 5 hours today, was ship a bunch of their shirts and...
For 5 hours?
Yeah, they did pre-orders on them, and so there's a whole bunch. And,
oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah, so he also knows Cody, my friend Cody Sadistic. I actually met him briefly down at South By this year. So,
By Northwest?
Yep.
North by Southwest?
Yeah, people have tried to do. Yeah, I remember. Did you see that a couple years ago? And somebody up here tried to do like a rock festival that was like North by Northwest
or something.
Yeah, and it was just terrible.
Was it?
Okay. I didn't go to it, but I just remember hearing that.
Yeah.
Like, everybody, of course, compared it how to South by Southwest,
right.
and how like they counted down the number of ways they failed. to meet that expectation.
Yeah, you can't have that kind of success. I mean, I don't know what South by Southwest, what it was like when it first started, but I'm sure it started small and worked its way to what it is now. But people just want to get to that status right away, and you got to realize you can't do that. But what are some other 2013 albums that you were into?
I really like Cage's new album, Kill the Architect. A lot of people kind of on Cage, they're kind of, you know, oh, I only like this era Cage or that era Cage. But
He changes it up a lot.
Yeah, I will say I like the Depart From Me album. It's probably my favorite of his. But I was definitely really happy to hear a new Cage album for the first time. 4 years. And
what was the last one?
That was Depart From Me.
Depart From Me.
That came out in 2009.
The title does not sound familiar. What does the album cover look like? Is it like black?
It kind of looks like the By the Throat album cover.
Okay.
It's got a lot of white, and then it's got, you know, Cage kind of in gray on the top, and then it's got like a, I think it's like a body kind of like slouch. It's mostly white.
Okay.
And it came out actually right around the same time that By the Throat came out. It was the same 2 or 3 weeks.
I don't think I'm familiar with that one either. Because I haven't heard much of him, his newer stuff then.
Yeah. Okay. That the new Sage Francis, the Sick to Death mixtape, which is not really an album, I guess, but a collection of B-sides.
That was on a lot of people's top fives. Definitely.
Yeah.
How about, did you like the new Daft Punk album?
I really didn't listen to a whole lot of new music outside of maybe 5 releases.
Right.
The new Run the Jewels, the LP and Killer Mike, definitely like that.
Right.
Saw them when they came through here on tour.
You also you sent me a screenshot of your top plays on Spotify. Is that what it was from?
Yeah, it's Last FM. But it's Spotify, is what I'm.
And half the stuff, I was like, I don't know what the hell that is.
Yeah.
You know? But there was like Mudhoney was in there.
Yeah, actually, I saw Mudhoney this year.
Did you?
I saw him at the Bash. The 25th anniversary Bash, which is Amphetamine Reptile Records does it.
Okay.
It's the guy that also, the same guy that runs that, runs the Grumpies Northeast.
Okay.
I think there's 2 or 3 of them. He runs those, and they had this parking lot thing where they had Melvins and Mudhoney and Negative Approach and just a bunch of noisy.
Mudhoney, are they a Seattle or Washington?
Yeah, they are.
Okay.
They're Seattle.
Are you a fan of that scene over there, or just is that just ironic that Nacho and Nacho Picasso and
I guess that's just more of just a coincidence there. I've never
Sir
been to Seattle. Mix-a-Lot. Yeah, mm-hmm. Sir Mix-a-Lot. Yeah.
Macklemore.
Yeah.
He's a Washington guy.
Yeah.
But one thing we basically found common ground on when shooting back and forth here was I asked you what your top 5 favorite movies, and I know that's hard to just spit out there, but your number one that you mentioned was Office Space.
Yep.
And I was like, hell yeah.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Office Space. Because that is a classic. You know, it is a cult classic. It's become cult classic, but did a little research on it, had to dig up some facts about it. When did you see the movie? Was in theaters or?
No, it wasn't in theaters, but I remember it was one of the first 5 DVDs I owned.
Okay.
Cause I remember I had Dumb and Dumber, the first Rush Hour, and Office Space, and I can't remember what else, but that was one of the very first, like when I got a DVD player for Christmas, and I was, probably 14 or 15, like when DVDs were the new thing.
Right.
It was probably a $20 DVD.
At one point when you bought a DVD player, you always got like 5 movies free or something. Was it like that? And I remember because Rush Hour was one of them, and I had that too because of buying.
Yeah, and it was one of those things where everybody, I didn't have it, but like everybody owned Gladiator on DVD. that was like the big release. Yeah.
That's cool. Yeah, the movie came out on February 19th of 1999, so I remember seeing previews for it or something, and I don't know if it really enticed me to see it. I didn't even see it in theaters until it came out. I didn't see it until it was on a DVD.
Yeah.
And Mike Judge, who did the movie, of course, is the guy behind Beavis and Butthead.
King of the Hill,
yep. And, voices Beavis and Butthead, too. He does a lot of voice work. Is he the voice of Hank on King of the Hill?
I don't know. It's really the only thing he's done that I really enjoy. I don't. King I'm, of the not, Hill? I'm not. A, no. Office Space.
Okay.
I'm not a big King of the Hill fan.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, not a big. Beavis and Butthead was kind of a little bit before my time, and also growing up, we weren't allowed to watch MTV or VH1. For some reason.
VH1, too.
They were music channels VH1 were like banned.
VH1 was like the light, I'm okay kind of sister of MTV until MTV, I think, took over VH1 and then it was all But I think about 10 years older than you, so Beavis and Butthead was like perfect for me.
Yeah.
And then King of the Hill was, I was really late to that show because it was kind of like a, if you like Beavis and Butthead, doesn't mean you're going to like King of the Hill.
Yeah.
It's like they're two different ends of the spectrum there. But, Office Space was his first live-action movie that he made. And he's from Texas. So, like, King of the Hill is set in Texas. Beavis and Butthead, I believe, is Texas, too. So the movie, of course, takes place in Texas. And one thing I really appreciate, because I'm a hip-hop fan, in the movie, there's Ghetto Boys. They play Ghetto Boys. They play Scarface, who of course are from Texas as well. You know, of course, if you've seen Mike Judge, like what he looks like, you don't picture him like listening to Ghetto Boys. You know what I mean?
Well, he's in the movie. Isn't he?
Yeah,
he's,
he is.
He's the
manager
of the restaurant.
Need more flair. He's that guy. But basically, for people that are unfamiliar with Office Space, it's basically kind of like an IT...
The 2000 switch.
Yeah, they're preparing for the 2000 switch when, you know, people were didn't think to numerically have more than two digits for 1999. You know, 00 they think would be 1900, but... yeah, it follows this guy, Peter Gibbons, played by Ron Livingston, who falls into this mundane daily cycle of waking up, going to work, the repetitiveness of 9-to-5 life, you know, which we've all been there, right, Brady?
Not quite me, but hopefully
soon. We'll get into that. Until he goes to see this hypnotherapist who kind of does this hypnosis thing, and then he has a heart attack midway through, the therapist does, and then leaves him in this... dazed, I don't give a shit type attitude, and then life comes together for Peter Gibbons. But this was my introduction to Jennifer Aniston too. She of course was on Friends, but I'm not really a Friends person myself.
No, I can't watch it.
So my introduction, she's an attractive lady. Yeah.
She was also in one of the first roles she was in was the original Leprechaun movie.
Really?
Yeah, she's about 15 or 16.
Okay.
In it. Yeah.
That's weird because I know Courtney Cox, who's another Friends person, she was in a Bruce Springsteen video, wasn't that what it was? I think she's in like a Bruce Springsteen video.
Yeah, one of those. Yeah.
So they both, they go back.
Yeah.
They're acting chops. Leprechaun. Wow, the first Leprechaun?
The original Leprechaun.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's been a long time since I've seen that.
Yeah, it's been a while since I've seen him too, but yeah, I own the first four on VHS when the Mr. Movies on over in Highland Park went out of business.
Okay.
It was,
you reaped all the benefits.
It was, I left there with 40 or 50 movies, all high quality.
Not the Leprechaun, what was it, Back to the Hood or something like that?
Well, yeah, there's the first four, which is just Leprechaun 1, 2, 3, and then Leprechaun 4 in Space, and then it's Leprechaun in the Hood, and then Leprechaun Back to the Hood.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's odd, because there's a Friday the 13th one where he goes to space, too.
Yeah.
Which apparently is one of the most terrible of the...
I haven't seen those past the first two or three,
It's downhill.
Yeah.
It's downhill from there. But there's actually, the cast for Office Space is pretty good, you know, Jennifer Aniston, of course. But Ron Livingston, he's essentially the main character. Didn't know who the hell he was before this.
Yeah.
But now he's that guy that I know he's the HBO show.
Band of Brothers.
Right.
That's the.
And tell me when you saw that him in there, you're like.
Like the Office Space guy.
Yeah, it was
guy,
like,
yeah.
Hard to believe.
It was like it's almost like he was in a sitcom and he was just like stuck as this character.
Right.
Yeah. Whenever you see him in other stuff.
Yeah. So it's kind of hard to once you've kind of coined him as, you know, the character in this movie, Peter Gibbons. You know. So. But a couple other people that you. Might not know their name. Stephen Root, who plays Milton,
mm-hmm.
You know, the bumbling Yep. My stapler guy. He's in tons of stuff. News Radio. He was the boss of News Radio. Old Brother, Where Art Thou? Idiocracy, another... Actually, are you a fan of Idiocracy? Have you seen that?
I haven't seen that. The only time I've seen Milton and something else was I bought one of those, like, value horror movie.
Okay.
8 horror movies for $6 yeah. type thing. And he was...
Happens to be in it,
and he had gotten, like, even fatter
right.
in it. Yeah, and he was the... It was about some, you know, hitchhiking teenagers okay. who got slaughtered, and he was, like, the narrator guy.
Okay. Okay. Huh. Yeah, he pops up in tons of stuff. Cedar Rapids, which is another kind of low-budget, I don't know low-budget, but just it takes place in Cedar Rapids, Iowa, and it's really good. That's a good one. No Country for Old Men. I think he's in a few Coen Brothers movies.
Yeah.
Old Brother, Where Art Thou? No Country for Old Men. I think he's in another one. But if you're a Mike, if you like Office Space, Mike Judge did this movie called Idiocracy. Are you familiar with what that is?
Not really. Okay. It was explained to me a while ago.
Yeah, it's set in the future where basically our country, our world is just continues to get dumber and dumber. You know, pretty much the way it's going.
Yeah.
You know, so it's not that far off, and it's just, you know, it's over the top how stupid things have gotten. And in that, it's just hilarious.
Yeah.
It's pretty good. It's worth a watch. But another good actor that's in this movie, Gary Cole, plays as Lumberg.
Yeah.
I mean, he's not like a great actor, but a familiar face. One of his greatest roles as the dad in the Brady Bunch movies.
Yeah, actually, I did. I have seen those.
Yeah.
At least the first one.
Yeah, but he pops up in stuff all the time. Actually, my wife was watching some Lifetime for Women movie or something like that, where he was playing as this, I think he was in the Navy or something, and he was stalking this girl, and he was like a really, really creepy role. And it was like, Lumberg's playing this creepy guy? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It was just so different.
Yeah.
But he's, again, a face that you see and you recognize and
yeah.
all over the place. B-movies. There's
yeah.
a lot of B-movies.
Always got
yeah,
a
they
lot
do,
of
Yeah, they do. Yeah, that's true.
In the background.
Yeah. David Herman. He's Michael Bolton in the movie.
Yeah.
He was actually a cast member on Mad TV.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
Don't know what else he does. But I thought he was pretty good in this.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the other guy that really stuck out for me was Diedrich Bader, I think is how you say his last name. And he was he's the neighbor in the movie.
Yeah.
That tells him that the breast exam is on.
Yeah.
Lawrence. He was on the Drew Carey Show.
Yeah, none of these, like, none of the stuff that anybody else was in for any amount of time was anything I enjoyed.
Oh, really?
Or, yeah.
Okay. How about Napoleon Dynamite?
I love Napoleon Dynamite. Okay. Like, I really like, I saw that movie in theaters.
Because guy played as Rex Kondo.
Yeah, yep. But any of the extended, like, any of the TV series,
right.
you know, Friends, mm-hmm. you know, any of those things, I really, Band of Brothers was really good, but.
Yeah. Not a sitcom, but if it was, it'd be really funny.
Yeah.
Just kidding. So yeah, the movie wasn't a big hit in theaters, but after DVD rentals and VHS, of course, became a cult classic. I found out that on February 8th of 2009, they did a reunion without Ron Livingston and Jennifer Aniston, the two main people of the movie,
yeah.
you know what I mean? I don't know how well that went, but here's what they did. They got together and destroyed a printer on the sidewalk.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Yeah. Apparently Mike Judge was offered a chance to make a sequel.
It's one of those things I'm really happy that there hasn't been.
Right.
I'm really
I'm glad you said that.
Yeah.
I hope you're going to say, well, that sucks.
Yeah, no, because it's never ever as good.
Right,
and,
yeah. Especially
you know,
this
specific. Yeah,
it's hard to match the quality, capture the funny. You know what I mean? It's
yeah, and it's just one of those things where it's never worked out. People always get excited about it. You know, there's the existing brand, and there's a temptation to just kind of cash in on it.
Right.
And I get it. It's money. It's free money. It's sitting there, but at the same time,
I'm glad he turned it down.
Yeah.
Because that's not only noble of him, but It would have wrecked it.
Yeah.
It would have wrecked it.
I'm happy that I think there was like a, you know, deluxe edition where you get the stapler and everything. I'm happy, you know, it's like whatever. People want that. That's cool that it's available.
I did find that. So Swingline long ago actually made a red stapler, right? And then they hadn't made it for like years. But after this movie came out, they got so many requests that they actually started making it again, specifically because of this movie.
Yeah.
So it's kind of funny how just a small movie like this could have such an impact on something like that.
Well, I think the fan base of it, you know, if you're into that cult movie thing, it's kind of, you know, Comic-Con type thing. People go and, you know, get their picture taken with somebody from, you know, Halloween 4.
Yep.
You know, that's kind of that mentality. Right. Those are the people that are paying attention to stuff on the internet. Those are the people that are going to, you know, buy the deluxe edition and then check it out, that kind of thing.
Yeah. Like, would you recognize anyone that got killed in Halloween 2 or something like that, you know?
Yeah, no,
but
exactly.
Somebody would. And
yeah, but
thing.
Somebody, that's their thing, yeah.
Yeah. So the set for Tchotchkes, that's the restaurant that's like a TGI Fridays or something. Was that? It's actually a restaurant called the Alligator Grill in Austin, Texas. It closed in 2009, but that would be awesome to just go and visit it.
Check that out.
Yeah. There's actually, are you familiar with House of Pain, the rap group House of Pain?
Yeah.
Danny Boy from House of Pain, who he was kind of like a graphic design guy. He did all the House of Pain logos, did a lot of work for Cypress Hill and stuff. Now he runs this thing called Delta Bravo Expedition, where they go and, like, if they had a picture or a scene in a movie, they would go and visit that scene, like on a street corner or something, and just get a picture of it, you know, and do like a side-by-side thing. Say, like, this was in this movie in 1979. This is what it looks like now.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's pretty cool. And that sounds like something that they would do. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Go to this was Tchotchkes in the movie. This is what it's like now. You know what I mean? I like that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But it's closed. It's closed now. It's probably TGI Fridays now, for all I know. But what I did love about the movie, though, was just they threw in this, like, it's like a geeky IT, you know, movie.
Yeah.
Comedy, and then they throw in this, like, gangster rap music, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and there's kind of, you know, these rolling up the window.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, locking this car. Yeah.
Actually, there's another Mad TV guy that's in the movie. The guy that's coming door to door selling the magazines.
Oh, yeah, wasn't that the,
I don't recall.
Wasn't he the Mix 7 Up Yours guy?
Yes. Yes, yeah. He is. Yep. And that, he was a Mad TV guy. There might have been someone else in there too that was a Mad TV. It's always nice to see they take these smaller people from funny shows.
That's kind of like part of what I like about it is like the attention to detail in terms of like all the bit parts are just like perfectly cast. Even as like attorney, the attorney that they're asking, you know, at Milton's, or not Milton, what's his name?
The guy that,
Smikowski or whatever.
Yeah,
you know, they're asking it. Yeah, just like the attention to detail and like how funny the random characters that are on there for, you know, just a couple of seconds come off.
Right. The over-the-top intern guy that's, I think he's an intern. The guy that's at that party, and he's talking about, Lumberg fucked her, and he's like listening up all these people.
Yeah.
And even Lumberg is like, if you've worked in an office, it's, you know, people like that, you know?
Yeah.
There's always a manager and five different people telling you the same thing, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And Jesus Christ. They nailed it. I don't know, somebody watching this movie for the first time these days, it would probably look pretty dated, you know?
A little bit, I can see that, you know, but yeah, some of the computer stuff, especially computer screens. Like, I remember some of those like shutdown screens from, you know, grade school computers at the computer lab.
Yep.
So,
So you've never worked in an office then?
Never worked in an office.
Okay. Well, it's just like that.
It's just like that.
You see your boss coming, you shut down your computer, and you like try to duck just low enough under the cube walls.
Cubicles,
to get out of there. No, it's good stuff though. So is this movie just, did you watch it with buddies or Friends? And
I can't remember when I first saw it. It might have been... Yeah, it might have been at a friend's house when I first saw it. Yeah, I can't remember. I remember getting it when I first got the DVD player, but I don't remember specifically like when the first time I saw it. Mm-hmm. It's one of those movies that kind of grows on you anyway.
Yeah.
You know, like I'll watch Office Space once a year, probably.
Yeah. So I thought it'd be awesome to watch this movie because I haven't seen it in a year or two. You know what I mean? Yeah. And it was on Netflix. We had it in our Netflix queue, and this is my problem with Netflix. It's not there anymore.
Yeah.
You know? Fuck you, Netflix.
Yeah. Yeah, man.
Right when I want to watch it, it's gone.
Yeah, when they took Reno 911 off there, that was a big loss for me. Yeah.
They've had good stuff, really good stuff, and it comes and goes. You know?
Yeah.
I understand there's contracts and agreements to have things up there for a term, a period of time, but what the fuck?
Yeah. Well, it's just probably like a $4 DVD, so...
Right, yeah, that's true. That's true. I'm a big fan of The Wonder Years.
Yeah.
Show, remember The Wonder Years?
Yep.
The original song they use at the beginning of the show is... can't remember the guy's name. Joe Cocker.
Yep.
Get By With a Little Help From My Friend, which is a cover of a Beatles song.
Mm-hmm.
And in the original show, that's who sang it. That's the song. Well, on Netflix, and this is the reason why... The Wonder Years was never released on like a DVD series because they used all these movies from the 60s, or I'm sorry, music from the 60s and 70s, you know, the Vietnam era, all this music, and they had trouble getting rights to use the music, including this Joe Cocker song. So on the Netflix version, Wonder Years, it's still on there. I still watch it. Another guy singing it, other guy, but it's just such an iconic song. If you know the show, you know that song.
Just brought in somebody else.
Yeah, it's somebody else. It's like a cover of a cover song. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's just like, what?
Yeah, there's a lot of shows that have like weird, subtle differences on Netflix. Twin Peaks, The Log Lady.
Okay.
If you've ever seen Twin Peaks, there's this lady that's holding a log like a baby at the start of every episode, and she says some, it's like supposedly like an synopsis of the coming episode, but it's always super vague and it doesn't really mean anything, and for whatever reason that's just not on the Netflix version.
Okay.
So if you want to actually see it, you have to, you know, pull them up on YouTube, you know, episode number 4, Log Lady, watch that.
Because that is like the one thing, because I was pretty young when that was on.
Yeah.
I don't even know if you were born when that was on.
No, barely. Yeah.
But that was one thing that I remember was like, what the fuck? This show is so weird. And it was because of that, the Log Lady. And
yeah,
that's
and
not
just,
there.
Yeah, for whatever reason, you know.
Wow.
That's, you know.
Maybe she was like, I don't know. Maybe she's grown past and she's like, I don't want people to remember.
Post Log Lady era. Yeah. Getting into more.
She's on her serious act.
Deeper roles, yeah.
But, anyways, for those who have not seen Office Space, you really should see this. It's, do you feel it's a movie that people should see at least once in their life?
Yeah, people should see it. It's one of those movies that I love, but I accept that people aren't. There are going to be some people that just, this is too boring, there's not enough going on.
Yeah.
You know, it is a certain sense of humor. Like, it's one of those ones that you have to, like, kind of think about a little bit, and then when you come back, you kind of notice things, you know. Like, there's this whole, you know, the underlying notion that everyone has seen Superman 3, the movie.
Okay.
You know, that running joke throughout it, you know, it's like Superman 3.
Right.
Well, I don't know anyone. I haven't seen Superman 3. Like, I don't really know. None of my friends have, you know, openly come out as, oh, I've seen Superman 3.
Right.
You know, there's this whole assumption that that's like the perfect example for explaining, you know, their theft in this movie.
Yep. Yeah.
So
what they're doing there is they're selling Superman 3.
Yeah.
Because you're like, what the hell are they talking about? Now I have to see Superman 3.
I have to see Superman 3. Yeah, they could bundle the two together.
See, that would be a very thoughtful thing.
Yeah.
People would be like, why is this? And then once they see it, they get it.
Yeah, it's $4.99. You get Office Space and Superman 3.
Probably just a dual-sided DVD. Anyways,
yeah.
But anyways, let's take a break here. We'll come back and we'll discuss Brady and everything that is you.
Okay.
All about you. We'll be right back. Hey Hey, I'm here today with Mr. T. How you doing?
I'm doing good.
I see you're wearing, well, how many
of
chains?
Of course I am. It brings a ton. 45 chains.
What about your hat? I see you're wearing a camouflage hat.
Yes, I am. I'm matching my shoes.
Yeah, the shoes look good. They're camouflage,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, they do. Yes.
Yeah, like, and your things there.
Yes, yes, exactly.
Yeah, and,
Mr. T said, go watch. I put it in a food that don't match.
The earring.
Around. Yes, earring match you. Mr. T don't play.
Can you just show us an example of how everything matches?
My shirt match my hat. My hat match my pants. My pants match my shoes. My tongue match my tongue. And my mohawk match my pubic hair.
Is that brims and tongues?
Brims and tongues.
We are back once again. Brady O'Rourke. How you doing?
Pretty good.
Still good?
After that break, yeah.
That was a long break.
Yeah.
To the listener, it's going to be 30 seconds.
Yeah.
But they have no idea what happened in those 30
right.
seconds.
Yeah. Yeah. It's pretty wild.
Time travel.
Yeah.
It's like virtual time travel. But we kind of broke down some things there. We talked about vinyl in that 30 seconds.
Yeah.
And it sounds like, well, let's bring people up to speed here.
Yeah.
You worked at Subway.
Worked at a Subway.
Yep.
In Lilydale, Minnesota.
Right.
And before that, Morris, Minnesota. All
right. So you're an alumni of
yeah.
Subway. How many in years, how many years have you worked at Subway? Or did you, I should say?
I would say 2 years, like off and on.
Okay.
Kind of like summer, you know, various summers and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, 2 years, I think.
Is that a good job, would you say? I mean, as far as, like,
I mean, like yeah,
college working jobs.
Yeah. I mean, I had a student job that was with the soccer team, and it was, I just had to, you know, occasionally, like, throw balls back at people, you know,
okay.
and they kicked them really far, and then I had to go run and chase it. But, you know, you had to do that a couple times a game, and then you get paid, you know, $20 at the end of it, pretty much, you
okay.
know.
So Subway's a little bit more, you're gonna make a little more cheddar.
Yeah, and then it kind of depends on who your manager is, and you know, like any job, like your coworkers.
Who was your manager? Do you want to call him out right here?
I actually had a really good manager, and it was for the most part, her name was Tiffany, and she was actually used to manage the Josh and John at the hotel. They used to work at.
Oh, really?
Back in the day, yeah.
Talking
so she,
about PLC.
So they, yeah, she knew the PLC guys.
Nice.
And been to shows and
okay.
that kind of thing.
Small world.
Yep.
Small world.
So,
but so currently, you're running Crush Kill,
mm-hmm.
and this Crush Kill Recordings.
Yep, that's the official.
Okay, so what brought you to this?
Well, I was always interested, you know. I was writing. I was actually, you know, interviewed the Lunatics guys back in the day. And
I remember.
Interviewed. I was actually at the Crush Kill launch party. I'd seen them. I'd seen Absorber and Carbon Carousel, which are the two bands
mm-hmm.
at the time. I'd seen them a couple months before, and then I came back from college to actually do a story on the Crush Kill launch. And it was kind of like, there should be more people here, and like... So I eventually ended up joining the street team, and then, you know, kind of seeing those guys out at shows and bumping into them, and, you know, just getting to know them better. And then randomly, Michael Idea called me. It was the end of August 2008. Yeah, 2008.
Okay.
And he was like, yeah, I think it was a Tuesday, and he was like, yeah, like, we need somebody to do merch on our tour. Would you be available to do it? And I was like, well, when is it? He's like, well, we leave on Thursday. So it was a call on Tuesday morning that, you know, like woke me up, and then 48 hours later we're supposed to leave for this, you know, week and a half tour, kind of like Southwest, you know, Colorado, New Mexico,
mm-hmm.
Nebraska, that kind of thing. So yeah, I ended up quitting my job at Subway because it was like the last couple weeks. I think there's 2 weeks of summer left, and this was like a week and a half tour or so.
How did
yeah.
Tiffany feel about that?
I think that was not Tiffany at that point.
Oh, okay.
That was Sam, who was not as good of a manager. But yeah, they were like, okay, you know. So I quit. I worked like the last two. I worked that Tuesday and Wednesday, and then Thursday I left for that tour. And
did you grab a foot long on the way out?
No, actually, I think we went to the Qdoba. When it was like a new thing.
Okay.
There's right. that one right in Uptown, like right by Fifth Element.
Okay. Yeah.
I think that's where we went. before we left.
Okay.
So it was Qdoba on the way out.
Right.
Yeah. So, and then just kind of like, you know, at random points, you know, they would be like, you know, oh, like Lewis, normally, Lewis LaPierre normally did their merch and stuff, mm-hmm. and went on a bunch of, I think he went on 5 or 6 tours with them. But times when like he couldn't or whatever, and they would ask me, and then, you know, but it ended up usually not working out with school or whatever. Except for the last ENA tour, or what ended up being the last ENA tour, was July of 2010. That was an East Coast thing. I just graduated from college and I came back and I went to the Christoph Crane. That was the Hunting for Father CD release show at Cedar. And yeah, he was like, yeah, do you want to come on this tour? And then ended up from there like, hey, like, you don't really have a job or anything and you got some free time and we kind of like need some help with this. And so that was kind of the rebirth or whatever of Crushkill, mm-hmm. with Ben, kind of like in the months after that tour.
Was that the By the Throat tour then, or promoting that?
Yeah, it was. Oh. It was about a year after By the Throat had come out.
Okay.
So they toured with like Atmosphere and stuff right after By the Throat came out. Then, you know, shortly, because that was, you know, that was like the big By the Throat tour. But yeah, this was technically, the other one was part of the Appetite for Destruction tour. I can't remember if there was a name for the 2010 East Coast tour.
And that, how long was that tour?
I want to say it was like 2.5 weeks.
Okay.
And it was East Coast, and I'd never really been. It was my first time in New York City, which is kind of like over. It was super hot there. It was like a heat wave. It's like 110 nice. Degrees. Yeah, and there was just crazy stuff kept happening to us on that tour, like good stuff. Like we Chris and I had to drive out at the beginning to the first show was in Cleveland. We stayed in Toledo, I think, and there was this kind of this guy that had kept like exotic animals at his farm type place, kind of mm-hmm. just outside of town. And you know, it was like the lions that were in Gladiator were actually like this guy had those. And you wow. know, I ended up looking him up after the fact, and there's, you know, New York Times article that mentions him.
Okay.
And yeah, it was, we stayed at this ridiculously nice house out in New York City that was people that had founded QVC. It was like a friend of a friend. Yeah, it was like one of those things. And
yeah.
you know, I've never been to New York, and it was like I was expecting to sleep in like a bathtub, you know, with like right. roaches in it.
Right.
And instead, we had a floor of this, you know, house with like outdoor showers, and they had they had fish nice. Tanks underneath their sinks.
Wow.
And yeah, you know, just,
you know, slept on Scarface's house.
Yeah, basically. Yeah, yeah. It was not what cool. I was expecting, and
right.
yeah, walking around New York City and.
How do you meet these people? Just
we met this kid in Cleveland. This guy Chris, he raps under the name Anonymous, and on I must. He crashed on the floor of our hotel room that night in Cleveland, and because he was out on tour with his friend, and then he was an NYC student, so we ran into him. You know, he came to the show there, and then he's like, yeah, like my friend. Growing up, like his parents moved here, and like, I'm from Florida, but you know, I go to NYC, and they're here, and you can stay at their house. So, obviously, compared to what a hotel would cost, in New York, I think it was like $80 or $90 to park our car.
Damn.
Just during the show, yeah, we had driving out there on. No, it was so bad.
Yeah. We in the Lunatics days we toured. And we did New York City too, and the first venue canceled on us. So the promoter luckily found another. Luckily, there's like a venue on every other building is a venue or something. You know, we played to like 10 people, but you know,
yeah, Moby's band from the 80s. We saw them soundcheck. They were playing the early show at this place, the Mercury Lounge. Yeah, we saw. We didn't recognize them or anything, but yeah. We came back to do the show and it was packed because it was some 80s New York hardcore book release show that they'd gotten Moby's band from back in the day.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So. That's probably one of those cult following things right there.
Yeah,
right?
They were called like the Vatican Commandos or something like that.
Okay. Whereas if you were like, hey, we're going to see Moby's old band. I'd be like, okay.
Yeah. He didn't look like the Moby, you know, the play era right? Moby. Yeah. So.
Okay. So New York, that was interesting though.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, just the East Coast in general. Mm-hmm. You know, when you're touring, it's not, you're not driving 8 hours from show to show.
Right. Yeah, they're all pretty close.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this. In New York, are you a hot dog fan? Did you eat any hot dogs from the vendors on the street?
No, I can't remember. We ate some really good, like, Thai. Just random stuff. Nothing okay. that was, you know.
I like food.
Yeah.
So I ate no less than 4 hot dogs.
Yeah.
From vendors. All different vendors. Probably the same.
Company.
Same company, yeah. 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 But that was awesome. It was like, how convenient could it be? It was like, I'm on the corner, I'm waiting for the light to change so I can cross. Might as well grab a hot dog.
Yeah.
You know? That was cool. I liked that.
Yeah. Everything's just crazy expensive. Yeah. And yeah.
It was like a $4 hot dog. You know, yeah. It cost them like a nickel.
Yeah.
Well. Yeah. When we were out there, we went out to... We just walked. I remember walking a lot. Yeah. You know? Walked out to where you would take the ferry to the Statue of Liberty, but it was already closed for the day.
Yeah.
So at least we saw it from a distance.
Yeah. You know,
which is cool. You know, went to the Two Towers site.
Yep.
And I don't know, how is that? Are they building like a memorial there? And is that done yet? Was it done?
It's like ground zero something.
Yeah.
But I don't know what the status of that is. Mm-hmm.
Some sort of light thing. I remember some idea that they had going.
Yeah.
Neither here nor there.
I didn't really do any of the iconic stuff.
Yeah, it's like there's so much to see.
Yeah, you know? We do the same thing. We just walked.
Right.
Stopped at some record stores.
Yeah, see, that's the thing. Is like, I would have loved to go to some record stores out there. Like, what's the big one?
Like Virgin or...
Oh, yeah, there's a Virgin one. Like, some of the more independent ones, like... Fat Beats or something?
Fat Beats isn't open anymore.
Okay.
They're just online.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then, like, when we went out there, CBGB had just closed.
Yeah.
You know, and that would have been cool to see.
Yeah.
What else was there? Like, 30 Rock, Rockefeller Center.
Yeah.
Didn't even think to go there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, Jesus.
Yeah.
Like, where the Letterman Show films, that would be cool to see that kind of stuff. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We're way off topic.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. So, anything else interesting?
Oh.
People like to hear the tour stories, you know?
Yeah. Well, that's where
crazy shit happens.
We had some Chris's... somebody he went to high school with, like their friend, and we, you know, we were at some apartment that overlooked the Empire State Building, and it was like, you know, the 40th floor, and
wow.
You know, he was saying that somebody else, and you know, that the rent was like $7,000 a month or something like that. And it was just like, it was a nice apartment, but it was like by no means like was like blown away.
Right.
You know, it was just like
a $7,000 location here.
Yeah,
would be like ridiculous. That'd be like a whole floor of a.
Yeah, and it's just like, you know, the way that he was saying, it's like, you know, just pretty much makes it sound like, you know, it's just, you know, the higher up you can get, like, the more successful you are, pretty much.
Yeah,
you know,
it's a status thing.
Yeah. 50th floor is better than the 40th floor is better than the 30th floor, so, yeah. But
a pissing contest.
Definitely, you know, I'm in no rush to get back to New York. Yeah. You know, it's kind of like happy I went, but 2 days there seemed like a lot.
Yeah, it goes a long way. Any other crazy stories from the trip there, though?
No, I mean, that was kind of a weird tour. You know, we had some really good shows at the end, like Madison, and Madison's always kind of crazy. Really drunk shows. Chicago.
Are you telling me that people in Wisconsin like to drink?
Yeah. Madison especially, like, you know, more so than Oshkosh or Eau Claire, which just seems to be, I don't know,
You would think that the further...
Or maybe there's just not, you know, there's not as many people, so it's the same thing, but there's not 300, you know, 300 people there. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the craziest on tour, just drunk show was the this is February of 2012, was with Sage in Madison. It was sold out, and there seemed to be like no security, and there was just, it was nuts. People were just, you know, like I was signing people's shirts. I was kind of like, that's when I know it's gotten out of hand, is when I'm signing people's shirts. When there's like you're on the, you know, you're there, like sign my shirt. Yeah. You know, it's like, okay. Yeah.
Hey, you're a person too, though.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, but you know, they're gonna wake up the next day and be like, why is this random
guy's autograph
on my shoe? Yeah.
Autograph.
Yeah. Yeah. No, my favorite was somebody posted a picture from that ENA Madison show, and it was one of the Louis Lapierre done 100 hand numbered prints that were like a tour poster. It had a little puppy with a knife in its mouth, and then the tour dates. And they were all different, and they were all signed and numbered. And somebody had posted like, "Oh, hey, I got my, you know, I got my poster signed and or framed. My signed poster framed." And you know, Kill the Vulture was at that show, so like their autographs were on it. Chris's, ENA obviously, and then I was like, "Oh, hey, like that's my signature." And they're like, "Yeah, we were wondering who that was." So,
hey,
yeah.
you're part of the cogs and everything that made that thing.
Part of a framed, right? Framed poster.
That's good. That's nice.
Yeah.
You're somebody. You are somebody.
Yep.
So, and then in October 2010, Idea passed away, and that was obviously a big hit to the Twin Cities as a whole. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That was. At what point were? How did everything at Crush Kill kind of happen after that?
Well, it's kind of. Well, I booked a tour that was supposed to leave that Monday. It was Chris, Sadistic, Noah 23 was on Fake Four, and actually at the last minute, Alexi, Crescent Moon from Kill the Vultures was going to do like a solo thing on it, and it was a 2-week tour, just Midwest, and it was like shows every night, and it was. I'd spend a lot, you know, if you go from not booking a shows to, you know, you're pretty much just like figuring out and sending emails and trying to track down people and try to, you know, fill like a Des Moines date on a Tuesday. I was really proud of this tour that ended up having to be canceled, obviously. But, so pretty much it was like all the other stuff that was available online, the Carbon Carousel CDs, poetry books, were then selling like crazy because everybody was Googling it, going to the website, you know, whatever. So it became something where it was like, somebody's got to ship all this stuff out.
Right.
Like, we have, here's the login info. And I, you know, was available and there. And so that's kind of how it happened that, you know, that initial starting to ship stuff out and operate that and respond to emails of, you know, "Oh, hey, I entered my address wrong," or
"Right.
I didn't get it," or "What, you know, when can I expect this?" And that kind of thing. That's when that started. It just kind of like happened into it.
Mm-hmm. So it all fell on your lap.
Yep.
And here you are.
I was initially at that point going to go to law school. I've been studying for the LSAT, and I was going to take one of those, you know, 2 or 3 week at the U of M courses where it's taught by somebody that's pretty much what they do for a living is teach LSAT courses, and but yeah, that all kind of changed.
Yeah.
So.
And now you're what is your role right now with Crush Kill?
Pretty much, at this point, it's pretty much just me and then Kathy, who is Idea's mom, and it's kind of a mix of things. Like, I can do pretty much what I want in terms of a lot of it. You know, I had hoodies made. I kind of have to, you know, figure out the design. Mm-hmm. So pretty much I do a lot of the social media stuff. I do, you know, running the web store, you know, getting, there's albums that I'm like, I consign through, you know, the Carnage album, Isid's album, getting those from them, paying them out, you know, making sure that Access Hip Hop and Strange Famous and Fifth Element and various like retailers that consign with us, making sure that they have enough copies of stuff, you know, and also kind of facilitating a lot of the fan driven social media stuff. So I'm sharing fan tattoo photos and their backstory and their location, as well as like you know, just pretty much anything that needs to be done. And then, you know, Kathy also will, you know, I want to do this with, you know, I want to release this project or get this together or,
So ultimately she's the one with the catalog of his, or
yeah,
has rights to stuff and
decisions whatnot. And that kind of right. thing. But, okay. you know, to varying degrees, she'll, you know, I want to do this, like, you know, either can you do it or what's the best way to go about this or who do I need to talk to or so, yeah.
And that's michaellarson.com, right?
Yep.
Is that that's the official website?
That's the official website. Okay. Yeah.
Is there an actual Crush Kill website?
There was, but some, you know, whoever owned it didn't renew it, and I should probably look into that. But 99 cents. Yeah, GoDaddy sale.
You got 24 hours.
Yeah.
Because this is going to be up tomorrow.
Yeah, whoever.
Someone's going to jump on that.
Whoever bought idea.com is just a complete jerk about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, they want 5,000 firm.
Holy shit.
And I understand that, yes, you jumped on it. You deserve some sort of reward. I'd probably pay you 10% of that. I'd probably pay you $500 for it.
Yeah, right.
But I'm not going to pay you $5,000. That's like, come on.
Yeah.
There's like $4 in the PayPal account right now.
You know what's funny? People squat on, you know, website.com, squatters is what they call
yeah.
them, you know? And when I first got into graphic design, I wanted to buy, I thought of iDefine Design for the name of my company. And so I bought, I immediately went and checked iDefineDesign.com. There was nothing there, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, as it turns out, somebody owns that. So that's why my website is i-define-design.com,
yeah.
you know? So I, first and foremost, emailed the owner of that, and they're like, yeah, $1,500. I'm like, I'm just starting out here, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't have $1,500 to throw at you.
Yeah.
You know, I understand a lot of people do. Some people do. So every year I would watch, because you can tell when a domain is going to expire,
mm-hmm.
and you can just kind of be ready for that. And I'd hit him up and be like, hey, you want to just let it go and I'll buy it? And he's like, no. No, he was a real dick about it.
Yeah.
Well, just like 2 weeks ago, I just out of the blue, I was like, you know what? I'm just going to search quick and see if it's available. And sure enough, he let it go. So now I have iDefineDesign.com.
Yeah.
Son of a bitch. Whatever your name was, you're my enemy.
Yeah.
But thank you.
Yeah, thank you for letting that expire.
Yeah.
So not updating your credit card.
Yeah.
Info.
Yeah, maybe that's all it was. He forgot to update it and it lapsed.
That'll get you. Yeah.
And I'm reaping all the benefits of that. Yeah.
Boosted traffic.
I would like to publicly announce right now that juggalonly.com will direct you to thankyourob.com.
Yeah.
Juggalonly. Anyways, I'm sorry. But so people can go to michaellarson.com and they'll.
Yeah, there's, you know, Kathy writes stuff on there from time to time.
Okay.
Also on the, you know, the Idea and Abilities Facebook page. And kind of try to make it, you know, there's examples of his handwriting there. There's a lot of pictures and video from the park dedication. There's a bench and also a picnic table dedicated to him in Cherokee Park in St. Paul.
Mm-hmm.
That there was a big kind of
ceremony.
I don't know what you want, dedication ceremony. And that was in 2011. That was, you know, Sage Francis, Tumex, Sadistic, Educated Consumers. Mayor of St. Paul talked briefly at it at the beginning. And so that's it's kind of like an important part of it. It's kind of like where, you know, people ask, like, where is he buried? And it's like, he's not buried anywhere, but kind of like the designated spot is in Cherokee Park. And it's kind of cool, like, you know, there's, you know, on October 16th this year, I went there and, you know, it was at 9 or 10 p.m. There's 40 people there hanging out and, you know, that kind of thing. So
what is the significance of Cherokee Park?
It's just somewhere that he, like, growing up, you know, hung out there.
Okay.
And he wrote, you know, a lot of stuff there. We'd go there and hang out, you know, even later in life. And, you know, it's right, it's in St. Paul. You know, it's kind of like an important, everyone assumes that, you know, you're from Minneapolis if you're anybody, but, you know, he grew up in St. Paul. He lived in St. Paul. That's where his mom's house is, and, you know, it's, you know, Cherokee Park is right by all of that, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not gonna. I was really late to the Rhymesayers thing, and I gotta thank Big Joe. He was PLC's manager, now he's kind of Johnny Question Mark's manager. For really opening the doors to Rhymesayers, because he actually, it was either him or Johnny Question Mark that gave me a copy of ENA in probably 07. And by far one of my favorite, it's not like so much a local release because, you know, ID and Abilities were worldwide.
Yeah.
But awesome, you know?
Yeah.
Just incredible. From the DJ aspect and the MC aspect, it's like,
yeah,
I don't know that I've heard better. I don't know. I can't say that I've ever heard better.
Yeah. I mean, I can distinctly remember as my dad was driving me back home from soccer, actually out here in Woodbury, at the Dome. It was like a Saturday. I think that's when it was. The Saturday was the Rhymesayers radio show on KFAI.
Okay.
And that was like where they premiered Now, you know, it's the single off of that. And I was just like, what is this? You know, I was 15 or 16. I was just like blown away.
Right.
Like, I don't, yeah. Like, I remember where I was when I first heard that song. So, yeah.
For those that, there's two things to take from this episode of the podcast. Watch the movie Office Space.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, what you're not going to take anything away from that. In all reality, ID and Abilities ENA album is it's hip hop history. I'd be curious to see, like, maybe a music critic's review of, like, hip hop to see where this album would land on their list. Because lyrically and content wise, it's like, holy shit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Now, I'm not going to act like I'm the biggest Idea fan, because I'm really not.
Yeah.
He, later in life, his, like, Carbon Carousel and
Face Candy,
really obscure stuff.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I didn't understand it, and I can't say that I do now either.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But you got to respect the just going out there and doing really different stuff.
Yeah.
And that's awesome. And that's why, actually, on a Lunatic show, I believe it was our 5-year anniversary show, we had Face Candy play at too. And,
yeah.
And that was just an honor just to get to meet him. And, you know, Mike was a really friendly guy.
Yeah.
I don't know that he would turn anybody away from a handshake or just to have a conversation with them. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. He would always, whenever I'd run into him after I interviewed him, yeah, he would always try to buy me a shot.
Yeah.
And I wasn't 21.
Okay.
So it was like every single time, I was like, sorry.
And
like,
did he know that?
I don't know if he, like, I didn't, like, know him, like, super well in the beginning, but he would, you know, at the Dinky Town or whatever.
Right.
Like, you want a shot? And it's like, nah. Sorry, I got axes on my hands. So, yeah. Yeah. But,
yeah. He was going to try to sneak it.
Yeah.
Get the underage kid drunk.
Yeah.
And then kicked out.
Yeah. Banned.
Yeah. Yeah. That's cool, though. But, you know what? That's awesome that you got to know him on a personal level.
Yeah. Yeah, because it's, you know, I bought his CDs. I remember buying, Oliver Hart and Firstborn at Cheapo when I was 15. And, well, actually, I bought one of them. My friend bought one of them. And then he burned copies of them for, you know, so for each other. So, yeah. So, yeah. Like, you know, I got his autograph back in the day on, like, one of those Twin Cities Celebration of Hip Hop. The first one of those. I think he was just, like, hanging out there.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it was definitely cool to go from that to being, like, touring with him, and then being kind of like entrusted with, you know, the label that he and, you know, the guys from Carbon Carousel and Zorber started, you know, back in 05 or 06. So, yeah, it's definitely like a crazy to go from that fan, just solely fan, just like going to, you know, see them in the main room on like the ENA tour with Illogic and stuff, to actually, you know, getting to know and, you know his mom and know him, and even Logic, who was one of my favorite MCs. So,
right.
Yeah.
That's cool. So, are plans to keep moving forward with Crush Kill then?
Yeah. There's random stuff that will be announced pretty soon. And more so right now, the focus is kind of shifted to raising money for various charities right now, moving forward to Africa. They're bringing like clean, sustainable drinking water to a village in Kenya. Mm-hmm. And something that Michael himself was working with Matt Ilvesak, who runs this nonprofit. Yeah, they're kind of in like the ending stages. They need about, you know, I think like the last, you know, quarter of what they need in terms of funding. Then they can bring this well to Kenya, which will provide drinking water for about 2,000 people.
Nice.
And yeah, they're going to call it, you know, Mikey's Well of Hope, because he was kind of behind it. And
wow.
Since then, you know.
Wait, so where can you see like status of what's been donated and the goal?
Not specifically, but you can donate through movingforwardafrica.org, I think it is. But yeah, they're down to the last couple thousand. Like they actually just need, like, there were some unexpected like permits. But yeah, they found somebody who's gonna drill it and everything. So
is there info on michaellarson.com?
Maybe not michaellarson.com, but yeah, movingforwardafrica.org, and also, yeah, I mean, on the social media and stuff, there'll be posts that will direct you to that.
So. Well, just to wrap things up here, what would be the best route to? Is the Facebook page, like the Crush Kill?
Yeah, the Crush Kill recordings, you know, Facebook page and the ID and Abilities Facebook page, and then all that posts, you know, to Twitter, and there's also an Instagram at Crush Kill Rex, pretty CS at the end. You know, Crush Kill Rex, Twitter, Instagram, Tumblr, so pretty much.
MySpace?
There is a Crush Kill Recordings is MySpace. We couldn't figure out the password for it.
Yeah.
So whatever it was,
people, yeah.
Whatever it was, and whatever form MySpace is now in, whether that's around still or not, maybe.
That's also a question, isn't
yeah.
it? Yeah. I have no idea.
Anybody would be surprised.
Yeah. Yeah.
What they might find on there.
A GeoCities page.
Yeah. We got everything.
Everything.
Angel Fire. What else? What else is
nice.
There?
Yeah.
Yeah. juggalonly.com/CrushKillRex. Yeah.
Nice. It really wouldn't be an episode of the show without referencing some sort of juggalo somewhere. So.
Yeah.
I think every episode will just say the word juggalo, and then that'll be
just
it.
Just a sound bite.
Yeah. Juggalo. All right. So check out the sites there. Stay up to date. Brady, thanks for doing the show, man.
Thanks for having me on here.
Yeah. I'm just going to recap, thankyourob.com. People go there. It's a hub. You can go to my graphic design page, which is also idfinedesign.com. Or I got to shout out the sponsors, Brims and Tongues, great clothing, hats, shoe inserts for your tongues. Are you familiar with this?
No.
Let me bring you up to speed.
Shoe inserts for your...
They go over the tongue of your shoe.
What?
So, like, let's say you got a hat. It's got, like, this red and white stripes or something on the bill.
You want to match?
And yeah, match the tongue of your shoe.
Yeah, I'm not one of those matching.
I'm not either. But their hats are really nice and their shirts are really nice. That's what I wear.
Nice.
But otherwise, I'm an old, not an old man, but I wear new, what are they called? New Balance shoes.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I need the support. I need the arch support.
Are they just tanned with the Velcro?
They're not. They're
not quite
laces.
There.
They're tan, but they have laces.
Okay.
No, I'm just kidding. But they don't make tongues to fit that. I'll have to get some custom ones, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. But they got a lot of good stuff. Brimsandtongues.com. There's a link right on the thankyourob.com page. And they just added a link to Fuzz Talk Radio, which is Mankato.
Yeah.
internet radio station. They play, like, tons of pretty much all local. I think they throw in some, like, national stuff, but, you know, Twin Cities, Mankato music, and it doesn't get any better than that.
Yep.
It doesn't.
I always see them on Twitter, so
yeah.
They're always mentioning somebody, so.
Somebody somewhere at some
yep.
point in time. Yep. And then thankyourob.com, of course, has a link to old episodes of this show. Yeah. Go back in time and listen. Yeah. All the way back. Brady, any last words?
I think that's about it.
That's your last
yeah,
word?
Yeah, just go. Go see Office Space, and you might be disappointed.
You might.
But, you know, there's, I'd say, 85% chance that you'll actually finish it.
I'm going to say 84%.
84.
Yeah.
Yeah. Go a dollar lower.
The thing that's going to keep people interested is all your friends that are quoting lines from the movie, you know, and then you're like, okay, I'll watch the movie. All right. Again.
Like the breakdown of, yeah.
Yeah.
We just accept it.
Right. Yeah. But thanks again for doing the show, man.
Yep.
I'll end it with Chewbacca balls.
Now the funeral is over and all the tears are dried up. Niggas hanging deep on the cut, getting fired up. Looking for the nigga who pulled his pistol on my homie. An eye for an eye, so now your life is what you owe me. Look deep into the eyes of your motherfucking killer. I want you to witness your motherfucking murder, nigga. And since you wants to kill, then your ass has got to fry. But ain't no police, therefore your ass has got to die. We play the game for keeps, and if you slept, I guess you sleep. You shouting the fucking that your ass is 6 feet deep. Cause where I come from, yo, everybody's got a cat. And niggas try your ass just to see where you got your heart at. And if your shit is flimsy, then your ass is gonna bend. And like I said before, there'll be no tears in the end. I'm rolling through your hood and now my heart is filled with anger. You at your sister's house and now your sister's life's in danger.
By a total stranger
with the kanga. Niggas wanna bang ya and hang ya, stain ya with one up in the chain. Let's take a trip up Holloway so you can see how many niggas in my hood is down to die today. We standing up for our own shit. And if you outside the click, then you die, bitch. It ain't no love in this motherfucker. It ain't no love for yourself or your other brother. Because we real with this shit, so we stay true. And since we bang, then we do what OG say do. I've got the mind of the man in the mirror, so I'm looking at me vaguely. But I can't seem to fade me. I've got my pistol pawn cocked, ready to lick shots non-stop until I see your monkey ass drop. And let your homies know who done it. Cause when it comes to this gangster shit, you motherfuckers know who run it. So when you put this motherfucker to the test, you gotta realize something, nigga.
You fucking with the very best.
I've got this killer up inside of me. I can't talk to my mother, so I talk to my diary. I'm going off on the deep end. I find myself face to face with myself while I'm sleeping. I see your picture in my head and my hand shake. You can run, you can hide, but there's no escape. My inner feelings show no mercy on my enemy. I got to get this motherfucker before it gets to me. So in your own blood you'll pay. And I won't stop until I put this motherfucker in his fucking grave. And I can say this once again. You can cry, but you'll still die. There'll be no tears in the end.
Clear.